Hi, this is Dr. Tim Turlip from Turlip Chiropractic. Wanting to invite you every Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock to listen to 30 Minutes to Vitality, where we'll discuss topics of interest that will affect your health and mine and how we express greater wellness and well-being. If you happen to miss a live episode at 11 o'clock, you can hear it again at drturlip.com, where all podcasts are posted there and available at any time, day or night. So look forward to spending time with you every Wednesday at 11 o'clock for 30 Minutes to Vitality.
And it is 11 o'clock. Thank you for reminding me. Dr. Tim Turlip here on WWJB 103.9, 92.3, 1450 on the AM dial. If you're streaming us online, of course, WWJB.com. And you can pick us up on your cell phone, of course, by using the TuneIn app. That's TuneIn. TuneIn app. You can hear us live anywhere and everywhere you go. But listen to us right now, because 11 o'clock every Wednesday, you've got Tim Turlip, Dr. Tim Turlip, chiropractor here in the Hernando County area. Can be reached at 352-666-2222. And, of course, his office is at 8466 North Cliff Boulevard. But he's not in his office at this time. He's here at the studio, like every Wednesday from 11:30. Reminder, it is an open call, Ask the Expert forum. So if you have a question, comment, or concern, you can call us at 352-796-7272. I'm JW here with you. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. And in the meantime, this is your 30 Minutes to Vitality with Dr. Tim Turlip. Enjoying our coffee here, Dr. Turlip.
Yes, we are enjoying our coffee, aren't we?
Yes.
On this kind of nippy morning.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's a good thing.
It's Florida.
It's a Florida morning, actually, in January. Yeah. February, actually,
yeah.
Now.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where? How did we lose January?
I know, right?
Where'd it go?
That's weird.
Wow.
I don't know.
Oh, well.
It went to the political
landscape. Yeah, we're not. Let's not even begin to grow there, shall we? Let's keep this on an upside.
All right.
So this morning, actually, since it is chill, I bet a lot of people listening to us actually enjoyed a nice cup of coffee this morning to start their day. It's amazing the volume of people who drink coffee, and that's exactly what we want to talk about a little bit this morning. Is coffee.
Very good.
It's one of those things, before we started the program, one of the things that actually JW is pointing out, and JR here in the studio, kind of interesting, because over the years we've heard things where we hear, this is good,
and do this,
and that's a good thing. And then you hear, oh, this is bad. Over here, so don't do this. And then 7 years later, you hear, oh, guess what? We were really wrong about this over here. Stop doing that. Mm-hmm. And the thing over here that we were saying was bad. Oh, you know what? It really isn't so bad. Matter of fact, it might actually be good.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
And it becomes very confusing to us. And coffee is one of those things.
Yes, it is. Very controversial at times.
And really, it isn't.
I know.
At all.
But they make it.
We've made it so.
Yeah.
I mean, I still remember going back, if I can go back, reach back into the recesses, decades, it's sort of like Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
If I can rewind, right? And I remember my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Who was, you know, a businessman doing his thing, and he was a large corporation he was running and doing all. And I remember him in the morning starting with his coffee, and he would go during the day. And I still remember as a little boy hearing that he was having digestive problems in his tummy.
All right.
Because he would go to the office and he would drink a pot and a half of coffee sitting at his desk, running out into the plant, doing this thing. And he was drinking coffee and was actually ending up with digestive problems.
Uh-huh.
And they switched him to decaf, right? Under the supposition that would be better.
Right.
Then eventually he just stopped drinking coffee altogether, because of his digestion.
Okay.
Turns out it wasn't his coffee, actually.
Sure.
But it was one of the, I still remember back then, and he was told, you know, because your blood pressure, the agitation you're experiencing, all those things are coming from coffee.
Okay.
And that's the problem. So we want you to drink decaf.
Uh-huh.
Right, and a lot of people have heard that. People who are hypertensive, high blood pressure, are told many times, don't drink coffee, don't do it, whatever you do, because it's got caffeine, and that's going to increase your heart rate, and it's going to cause your blood pressure to elevate and put you at greater risk of cardiac problems and stroke. Unfortunately, the reality and the science doesn't validate that on any level.
Wow. So,
yeah, it's really amazing. My dad, actually, back in the day, it's so funny because... And still is a great deal of decaffeinated coffee is actually decaffeinated with something called methylene chloride. And methylene chloride is actually a known carcinogen.
Sure.
But what they would say is, well, guess what? We do it. It's rinsed off. It all comes out of the coffee. Da, 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 the residue is it's within acceptable tolerance.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Right? So we're supposedly removing the caffeine, right, with a carcinogenic substance. And so now we actually have some stuff. There's a good number of coffees that are actually decaffeinated with water. And actually, if you actually see some, it's water decaffeinated.
Right. Yeah.
There's a means that we can use water to decaffeinate coffee.
Okay.
So that is a healthier version, but good news for everybody who's listening.
Well, let me separate this now because there's a difference there. I mean, coffee is coffee regardless if it's decaf or regular.
Correct.
But it's the caffeine that's the component in it that we're concerned about. Is that correct?
No.
Okay. So it's naturally caffeinated.
So it's naturally caffeinated. Okay. It's something in there. And it's the combination of all of the elements within coffee. It's got... Uh-huh. It's got vitamins, minerals, polyphenols, all kinds of really cool things that work together. Now, caffeine by itself, if I were to get, what are those types? No-dose.
Right.
Do you remember no-dose?
I don't even
know if they still make those things.
I don't know. I used to
use them in grad school to study, I promise you.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. But it was one of those things that no-dose, caffeine by itself is caustic and is a problem.
Yeah.
But caffeine wrapped in the coffee bean with all the cool stuff that comes in the coffee actually synergistically works with those other elements in the coffee to create some really good benefits.
It's all natural.
Which is amazing. There was a study a few years ago that actually came out, and that was one that actually had me even scratching my head at the time, because it's probably been the last 7 to 10 years, good decade, that the studies that are there, not everyone, but I'm going to say 90% will show that there is benefit to coffee consumption.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one study that actually came out. One of the things that people would say is, oh, when I drink my coffee, my heart races, right? And I can get palpitations. Now, some people are listening going, that's me, right? And the caffeine can make your heart race a little bit. It absolutely does. Mm-hmm. It stimulates a part of our nervous system that's responsible for increasing blood pressure and increasing heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
No question.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a transient effect. And what's really interesting is one study looked at heart murmurs. And people with heart murmurs actually was a significant, not just a little, I mean, it was like a 50% reduction in hospitalizations for heart murmurs for people who drank between 3 and 6 cups of coffee a day.
Sweet.
So if you had a heart murmur and you drank the coffee, you actually enjoyed significant reduction in hospitalizations because of any heart palpitation you might suffer because you were drinking coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was scratching my head when I read that one.
Yeah,
I was like,
sure.
Oh, wait a minute. This is kind of weird, right? But it's been validated in other studies. The interesting thing about coffee, too, it's not just the caffeine. As you mentioned, there's a really cool thing called polyphenols in coffee that is really significant antioxidant in its presentation and works well with all these other elements in there to give us these health benefits. So what health benefits are there from drinking coffee? What do we get? Well, a study that came out last year actually was even looking at all-cause mortality, the fancy way of saying dying from anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we people who actually drank more coffee, what was really interesting with this is there was no high upper end, right? They look at people who drink one cup of coffee on average a day, 2, 3, 4, 6, 8, right?
Okay.
They stopped at 7.
Okay.
Right? But the longevity of the people, the more coffee people consume, the longer they lived.
Are you serious?
Yes.
That's incredible.
It's incredible, right? And we call them chronic degenerative diseases. It'd be things like, again, heart disease, cancer, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, all these things, right, were significantly reduced, right? The percentage of people who actually presented that, the more coffee they drank, the significant reduction in chronic degenerative diseases.
Wow.
Right? It was really completely the opposite. Now, there's a huge caveat to this,
okay,
right? Because about 2/3 of people who drink coffee, unfortunately, will put sugar, artificial creamers, you know, pump a few shots of caramel flavoring and put all these other different things into the coffee. So it's only about 1/3 of us who drink black coffee.
Yeah.
I have a cup of black coffee sitting in front of me right now.
That's the only way I drink it.
So, right.
I don't want no frou-frou.
Well, frou-frou can be fun. There's
sure.
no question. Yeah. Right? But it really becomes actually not just not helpful, it becomes hurtful at that point.
Right.
Because we end up putting on pounds, we put on stuff. People use those powdered creamers, which are just trans fats
yes.
and synthetic elements that are just repugnant.
Mm-hmm.
We serve coffee in our office to our patients, right? But if we're gonna have people are gonna put a little something in it, do we have stuff there? Sure, but we have stevia packets to sweeten it with.
Yep.
We have real dairy there to actually use if they want to use it. Am I a fan of that? No, but I'm not gonna provide to our patients something that's going to harm them. So they get real dairy at our office. They get sweeteners that are real sweeteners that won't cause them problems, but are still quite delicious.
Yeah.
Right. So it's one of those things that we want to make sure that we're watching that. So I still remember changing. I used to be a cream drinker many, many years ago in my coffee. And when I first stopped drinking cream, it was like, yeah, this isn't as nearly as enjoyable as it was with the cream, right? Well, I forced myself to stop, and it was like my wife at the time, she doesn't drink soda and hasn't for 8 million years. But she said, it's kind of like when we went from like Coke to Diet Coke, right? Yep. It was like, oh my God, the difference.
Or from sweet tea to unsweet tea.
Right, exactly.
Whatever, yeah.
But then once you go to the other side, if you go back the other way 6 months, a year later,
way
you go,
too sweet.
Oh my gosh, I can't even begin to do that. So coffee's the same way. Believe it or not, everybody, I'm sitting here with a black coffee. I can attest to the truth of that. It really works. Now if somebody puts me one with cream in it, I feel like it's slimy in my mouth. It's, dude, I don't drink it.
Aftertaste.
Which is, aftertaste is kind of weird. So it's kind of a nice thing. There is hope after additional ingredients to coffee. So we look at these chronic diseases and this all-cause mortality. So how about Parkinson's disease?
How about it?
Well, believe it or not, the people, and again, 2 to 4 cups of coffee, significant reduction in the presentation of Parkinson's.
Okay.
4 to 6, even more reduction. 6 to 8, even more significant reduction.
Is this pre or post Parkinson's?
Pre.
Okay.
Pre. So if you're drinking it and you start drinking coffee when you're 30 and you're drinking 3 cups of coffee a day, right, your likelihood of developing Parkinson's disease, cut in half.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Right? And you kind of scratch it and go, are you kidding me?
Good news for today.
Of it is actually such that there are pharmaceutical companies who are developing patentable agents that will work just like coffee does on the neurologic components of our body, so they can patent it, and you can just drink coffee, but this way they can make $8 billion a year.
Sure, right.
On a medication that works just like coffee does, right, which is really interesting. How about Alzheimer's disease?
Oh,
many of us today actually worry about Alzheimer's disease.
Yep.
And go, oh, God, I don't, because we all know somebody.
Yep.
And it just is.
It's like, how do we prevent? How do we prevent?
Yeah.
What's the magic bullet?
It's horrible.
It is.
To actually see. I hate it. We all walk away from somebody who has Alzheimer's kind of brokenhearted. You need to be there, help, and do all can, but it's just a horrible thing, right? And guess what? Coffee.
Yeah.
Coffee is a significant reducer of the plaques that we find that escalate in the brain with presenting with Alzheimer's disease. Yeah. People who drink coffee, again, actually have far fewer plaques, and it either delays the onset by many, 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 many years or precludes it altogether. Again, there was no upper end to the coffee consumption that did that.
That's
which is
cool.
Really interesting. Now, I'm going to give a caveat to that too, because I'm a full, not just believer, but relier on the admonition that says moderation in all things, including moderation, right? So with moderation, again, it doesn't mean that we want to go out and go, great, that means I can have, you know, 2 full pots of coffee a day.
Yeah, right.
And I'll do 20 cups.
Yeah.
Well, does that sound excessive? Well, yeah, because it is.
Yeah.
Right. So again, coffee consumption, even when you start looking at the people drinking 6, 7, 8 cups a day, that's a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
It's a lot of coffee.
It is.
Right. But again, the research is bearing out that it works. Right. So how about that? Cardiovascular disease, the very thing that most people said, don't drink caffeinated coffee because your blood pressure goes up, your heart problems will increase, and you can have a stroke.
Right.
Right. Been shown to actually decrease the incidence of stroke, decrease the incidence of cardiovascular disease, and decaf coffee versus regular coffee. Sorry, there's no difference.
So if I'm going to my doctor and I'd have a cup of coffee or 2, maybe 3 cups before I go in, and they take my blood pressure.
That's bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's going to be a little elevated.
Okay, all right.
And your heart rate will be just a little bit faster.
Okay, right.
It's a transient escalation.
Right.
That's called the sympathetic system, the part of your nervous system that's responsible for fight or flight.
Yeah.
And it stimulates that.
That's right.
So it causes your blood vessels to actually change, causes your heart rate to increase, your blood pressure goes up, your heart rate increases. So they might check you and go, guess what? You got a problem. Your heart rate's at 92 and you're at rest. And you go, yeah, well, I just had a cup of coffee before I walked in the door.
Right.
Right. It doesn't mean that it's going to, if I get on my treadmill this morning, right, and my heart rate goes up to 150 beats a minute, does that mean I have a problem?
No.
No. So having a transient elevation in my heart rate doesn't necessarily mean pathology or problem, where we have to look beyond this immediate gross presentation that we're confronted with and look at what over time we see. And what the research is bearing out is that it does affect us on these dramatic levels. What's also interesting, as well as even certain cancers, are being shown. Prostate cancer,
coffee drinkers who drink black coffee, mm-hmm. right, have a significant reduction in the presentation of prostate cancer. Hmm. How about colorectal cancer? Mm-hmm. Another cancer that actually the people who drink coffee on a consistent basis enjoy a significant reduction in the presentation in colorectal cancer. Mm-hmm. How about mixed hepatocellular cancers, liver cancer, mm-hmm. right? Absolutely. Right. So it's an amazing thing to see all this stuff that we've been told. It's one of those things like what you said earlier. Mm-hmm. I was told not to drink coffee and here I am. So was I one of the guys who years ago, did I go years without drinking coffee? I absolutely did. Mm-hmm. Right. Based on the fact that I was told at the time that it was actually deleterious to my health and it might be a better idea if I didn't indulge in coffee. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll give it up. I loved it. I drank it regularly. And I said, I'm going to stop because it's better for me if I don't do that.
Yeah.
And I went years and years without drinking coffee.
Yeah, then, I know. I did too. A few years or whatever. It's I stopped.
But the research then, as I start, you start picking up the research papers and go, wait a minute. Oh, look at that. That's interesting. Now, one research paper, they can be skewed. All right. Things can show in one way and one piece of research does not validity make.
Sure.
Right. But then you get the second one, the third one, the fifth one, the ninth one, the 16th one. And you start saying, wait a minute, there's far too much data here.
Right.
That's actually showing these positive effects of moderate coffee consumption that to disregard it. And then for me, I could rationalize my indulgence once again.
Yeah, right.
Right. To be able to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and go back to coffee.
Yeah.
So it was one of the really great for me. I was like going, yeah, this is good. Right. But it wasn't until probably, I don't know what the number was, 15 studies, right, that I said, oh, boy, this is kind of fun. Now, the other thing with coffee that's kind of interesting, is it best to drink? And I am not one of those people who, do I look like I'm wearing organic cotton to you and a flowing robe?
No.
And right? No.
Right.
Right? So organic coffee, it doesn't mean that everything has to be organic, but coffee is actually sprayed. In order to create a huge volume of beans, coffee normally wants to be grown in shade. You'll see some of it's a shade grown.
Okay.
Right? But the volume of production in shade grown areas on mountainsides is significantly lower than if they decimate all the trees.
Right.
Have it in the sun.
Yeah.
And then they're required to spray a whole bunch more pesticide and herbicide on the plants to have those each of the trees actually producing the volume.
Okay.
So non-shade grown coffee actually is sprayed with a lot more junk. Right, than shade-grown coffee.
Okay.
Right, so if I have to throw in the caveat, is it better to drink organic coffee? Yes, it really is. Okay. I say that with, you know, you could see the look on my face. I'm kind of going, oh, boy, it is. Or even if nothing else, shade-grown, even if it's not organic, if you have a shade-grown coffee, it will have far fewer stuff, amounts of stuff sprayed on top of it.
Oh, cool.
The other cool thing with coffee is rather than buying the six-pound can of Folgers, right, in the open, who doesn't love taking that can, popping it open, and hearing that hiss and the that odor that comes out? Is that not fantastic? Yeah. It's just delicious smelling, right? I have friends who actually go, I hate coffee, but man, I love that smell. Yeah. That's just awesome, right? So it's a wonderful odor. But what's happened again is we've ground the coffee, right? And anytime it's ground, now what's inside the coffee is now exposed to air. Even though it's in the can, it was ground, and it will denature over time, right? It will oxidize.
Sure.
Is what happens to it. So it's exposed to air. So is it best to also get your whole beans and grind them before you use them?
Sure. Makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because the good stuff, the husk of the bean actually locks in the freshness and all the good stuff that's inside. So then you grind it right before you use it. Mm-hmm. You're going to get all those extra benefits from it, which is really great. So is that the best thing? Yes. You can get organic or organic shade grown or just shade grown coffee in a whole bean. You'll actually enjoy a whole bunch better benefit from the coffee than you would otherwise. Other thing we've talked about in the past is water. So if I use polluted water to make my coffee.
Oh, right.
Is that a good thing?
I see where you're going. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, of course not.
Not so much.
Thing. Yeah.
Right. So if I use a reverse osmosis water, a purified water that I make my coffee with, is that better? Absolutely.
Sure. Yep.
Right. Because again, we don't have the pollution from the water that's going in the chlorine and all the other elements and everything that we've talked about in the past.
Yep.
We eliminate those, and so the coffee becomes cleaner. So at our office, again, what we serve our patients, do they only get reverse osmosis water for? Absolutely.
Yep.
That's what they get. Do we have available right at our front desk? We use a Keurig machine for our patients. Do we have, like, you know, the organic rainforest blend? Absolutely. Right? So it's there and it's clean and the water's clean and it's all that good stuff. So it's tasty, it's fresh, and all the ingredients that are there are only helpful. They're not hurtful.
Yeah.
Right? So it's kind of an interesting thing when we look at the overall global look at coffee. It really is a good thing to actually consume coffee on an ongoing basis. The other thing that people always get confused about is I'm an espresso drinker. I love espresso, right? It's just delicious.
I do too.
Right? It's really good. And people go, oh, I can't drink espresso. It's just, oh, I'll just get so jittery. I'll get just, woo. It's just so strong and powerful with the caffeine and stuff. Well, not true.
No, it isn't.
The darker the roast, French, Italian espresso roast, the darker the roast, the less caffeine. It actually eliminates the roasting, actually eliminates some of the caffeine, and it will actually release some of the actually the really cool ingredients that are healthful in there. The darker the roast, it frees them up. So when you actually brew the coffee, guess what? You get more health benefits and less caffeine. We've mentioned in the past that, you know, the darker a food, you get a blueberry, a blackberry, a raspberry, your dark greens. The darker the color of a food, typically the more health benefit. Now, cauliflower, exception to that rule, right? We're talking white, right? Blanco, right? But it's one of those things that we want to make sure that people understand that, because so the darker, think of the coffee the same way.
Yeah.
The darker it is, less caffeine, higher health content, right? So you're not going to end up jittery and buzzy.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, if you do, it's sort of like if you thought you had an alcoholic beverage and you started acting like you were like a little tipsy,
right?
And you just weren't, because there wasn't nothing in there.
Right.
So people will start to think that, you know, it's really strong because the flavor is richer, the flavor is deeper. So the mental association is, well, it must be stronger.
Right.
And coffee has the caffeine, so it must be, then it'll juice me up. Not at all. Just the opposite is true. So if you can do that as well, then, and the longer you brew something, so if you're using the most common way we brew, again, more than half the people in our country anyway, who, when we do coffee, will be the filters.
Right.
So we'll use the filters and it goes in. Well, when it's dropping the water on top of the coffee, the water stays in contact with the coffee bean in your water filter for a much longer period of time.
Okay.
Right. So that will be tend to be a much more caffeinated type of coffee if you're using that brewing method.
Okay.
Also, too, again, we talk about pollutants and all that kind of stuff. Use a gold tone filter.
Okay.
Stop with those pretty white, clean filters because they're contaminated with all kinds of stuff. So then we're putting hot fluids through all the chlorinated processed paper.
Right.
That then puts all that junk into our coffee, for goodness sake. So just use a gold tone filter if you're going to do it that way.
Yep.
Espresso.
Reusable.
All right, we'll do it. Or a pour over is probably the best way if you're going to do that. And you say, oh, caffeine, I love the flavor. I don't want to do decaf, but then use a pour over. You can get all those cool little pour over mechanisms. Now you put it on top of your coffee, put the coffee right in, pour the water immediately on for one cup, in through it goes. You'll have far less caffeine in that delicious pour over coffee than you will if you brew it and it sits and you've got all that coffee with all that water.
What about French press?
French press actually is quite good, but unfortunately it does elevate our cholesterol. There's some oils that it releases by doing it that way that have been shown to increase your cholesterol level between 9 and 13%.
Okay. All right.
If you're actually using a French press, delicious. I love it.
I know.
And I won't say what the agents
are. In moderation.
But, you know, once in a while, okay.
Right,
but
right.
For a daily basis, French press, not a good idea.
Right.
And please don't forget, we're going to jump here just to our health fair.
Yes.
I'll be... They'll kill me back at the office because it is so exciting. We've got that coming up here shortly on February the 11th from 10 till 1. One of the things that we do are having on site is actually mammography. So we've got Tampa Bay Mobile Mammography is going to be there.
Very good.
Anybody who wants to schedule one, TampaBayMobileMammography.com.
Okay.
They are going like hotcakes. We just opened scheduling up a couple of days ago.
Okay.
And it's more than 50% full.
Okay. So this health fair that you got coming up, they got to make reservations for certain tests?
Only for the mammography.
Only for the mammography.
And they can do it online at TampaBayMobileMammography.com.
Okay.
And there's so much stuff from cholesterol, glucose, bone densitometry, vascular stuff, you name it, there'll be a screen there for. We've got some of the best providers in the county and all the hospitals will be there.
Okay.
It should be just terrific.
February 11th, we'll see you there, Dr. Turlup. Your 30 Minutes of Vitality, you heard every Wednesday here from 11 to 11:30, and we'll see you next week, folks. Thanks, Doc.